to me.
Why, hello.
I wanted you to be more excited.
I had to go to the car.
Okay.
I take it back. I had to walk down the hallway and give Scotty my keys and make him go to the car for me. But that's not easy. It doesn't do itself. It's 503-733-2970. It's not that I wasn't listening to the song. I had to leave the room and then I had to take a whiz. 503-733. You don't want to get in the way of my whiz. You know what I mean. Then I spend the next year in court claiming that you were 18.
You are so creepy.
You can see fear from the silhouette. Let's see, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent Jim Rupolo, sir. How are you, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, and I make Sarah feel creepy, so. All right. Good God Almighty. Hey, I would like to share with you this. This is a, I've been playing this for everybody today. If you go to rickemerson.com at your next opportunity, you can actually see what this present looks like. This is a wrapping stuffed Easter bunny that my in-laws gave me for Christmas. He is a green stuffed Easter bunny wearing a large egg around his neck on a gold chain, and his heavily lidded eyes make it clear that he is stoned on marijuana. Please not be listening to the sound that my Easter stuffed bunny makes. Hold on.
That's way too.
It's fantastic.
That's way too intense.
No, it's great. You go check out the picture at my website. It's just as great as you imagine it would be.
All right.
How's life in Southern California, my friend?
Hey, we got some sunshine finally today. It's beautiful out here.
Yeah, it's all that global.
I have to throw rocks at my neighbor. I feel so good.
I was going to say, it's all that global warming. We're all going to die. We're all going to die horribly. But at least we'll be tan.
Wait, we are? Let me get a beer in my hand.
I was going to say, we'll be tan and happy when it happens.
That's right, man.
Oh, good God. Hey, are you guys getting any of those? Are you getting one of your 7-Elevens down there turned into a Quickie Mart for the Simpsons movie?
No, I don't think so.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I'm guessing the Simpson movie is being filmed and they're decorating 7-Elevens to look like the Quickie Mart.
Well, here's what it is. So the Simpsons movie, they're getting ready to release, and as part of a promotion, well, apparently what they're going to be doing is they're going to be taking 11 different 7-Eleven stores across the country, and they're going to be temporarily remodeling them into Quickie Marts, and they're going to be selling the Simpsons food. There's the squishies, and I don't know what else they sell at Quickie Mart, but they're going to be selling a whole series of Simpsons products at the stores. And so we're trying to figure out, if there's only 11 stores that they're going to do this, and it's the entire country, what the odds are that there's going to be one in Portland. And so we're trying to narrow down the other cities where this is going to be happening. You've got to figure they do it in New York and L.A.
Yeah, it's got to be L.A., New York, Springfield, rather.
Yeah, I mean, but Matt Groening is from Portland. There's a lot of Portland stuff in The Simpsons. So we think that we have a better than even shot of it happening here somewhere.
Email them.
Yeah,
hey.
Here's the frustrating thing is they actually did a super secret screening of The Simpsons movie here in Portland just a few weeks ago. Matt Groening was here, but we didn't know about it until after the fact. It's all very frustrating.
Oh, wow.
Well, what can you do? Hey,
how come your PR people aren't on that?
Because, there's only so many hours in the day.
You don't have a guy up on the roof with binoculars saying, aha, Matt Groening's
there. I got to spend most of my time trying to get Carrot Top to call us back. You know what I mean? Do you know that we have booked Carrot Top to be on this show 3 times, and I think he blew us off the first 2 times? I think it actually took 3. I don't even like Carrot Top, but at a certain point it just became a quest. It actually took 3 attempts to even get that guy to call us back at the right time. So, did you ever get a chance to punch Carrot Top in the face? I would encourage you to do that and then say, this one's from the Rick Emerson Show.
I can take him.
You big redheaded bastard. He's a freak, man. When's the last time you saw a picture of Carrot Top?
It's been a few years now.
I would encourage you, before you decide to start swinging on him, in all seriousness, go take a look at that guy.
Really?
I'm not...
Any frizzhead anymore?
I am not saying... Well, let me just put it this way. I will give you a comparison. I don't know when the last time you saw that guy who played Urkel on Family Matters was.
Yeah, he was just on some show recently.
Yeah, you don't want to be screwing with that guy. You don't want to go up and give that guy an earful of Urkel because he'll break...
I'll kick him and run.
He'll break you into tiny little pieces. So it is with Carrot Top. I'm not saying that Carrot Top has filled his body full of harmful substances and steroids. I am not saying that. I'm just saying that if he were to have done that...
Oh, man, I'm looking at it right now.
I think the results would be very similar to the results that he has achieved now at this point. So, just so you're aware.
I think he was caught in that chamber with those gamma rays.
That's again, Bruce Banner, a man pushing the limits of human existence, or the endurance, or whatever the hell that is, in any event. Hey, but so they got... Now, do they have you in... Correct me if I'm wrong, but do they have you in a gym working on this... story about Weekend Warrior athletic stuff?
No.
All right. It's just because it's a whole thing about not injuring yourself.
It's actually Weekend Warrior gardeners.
All right.
I was in the garden.
And so is there a big epidemic of guys injuring themselves while trying to mulch?
People in general, they get out after a long winter's rest, if you will. They get out and start, you know, because the wife's on your back to dig the hole for the lemon tree.
Uh-huh.
Wants flowers here. Get rid of the weeds over there. The palm tree needs to be trimmed. You get out there, and without warming up, you could hurt yourself.
Right.
You can strain your back picking up a pencil, which is why I never pick up pencils. But you can really hurt yourself. So the idea is to warm up, stretch, and then get out there and do your yard work.
Yeah, see, I avoid this by just having my wife do all of that stuff. This is how I just sort of I skip the middleman. I avoid all of this by just letting her do all of the work because she's the one who cares. She cares way more about the outdoors and the garden area than I do anyway.
You're a smart man.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, let me ask you this just real briefly. Now, because we weren't able to talk to you on Friday because I don't know if it was because it was Good Friday or whatever, but you were gone for part of the day.
No, I wasn't.
So, well, you were not able to, on Friday, you were not able to call in, though.
I could have if I was asked.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we were informed you were at church
you
all
were,
day.
Well, I not all day. It wasn't all day.
Okay.
I could have 3-hour service. I could pop out to call you.
Okay, here's what happened. Okay, now
you call me direct.
Okay, now we got to step down and talk about this. Because on Friday, you were covering what looked like you were covering like three different stories, and they were all great. I forget what the other two were, but the one was you were going to the Playboy Mansion to try to, quote, adopt a different kind
of
bunny.
Well, here's the deal. I was asked to do that yearly thing, go to the pet store, talk to people about adopting bunnies and chicks for Easter, and the SPCA doesn't like it because the next day, after it's all mm-hmm. cute and fuzzy in the basket, the kids are stomping on it or whatever.
Right.
So I thought, I'm not going to do this story again after 6 years or however many years I've been doing this. So I went to the Playboy Mansion and tried to adopt one of those bunnies.
Now, we played some of the sound. We played some of the sound of you pulling into the loudspeaker. Can I help you, Playboy Mansion? You're going to go, I'm Jim Roop. I'm here to adopt a bunny. Okay, but here's the thing is that we called CNN Friday, and we said, hey, Jim's doing this great thing, you know, where he's going to be going to the Playboy Mansion trying to adopt a bunny. And somebody, and I believe her name rhymes with Baregiel, told us that you were not available.
See, I've got to be fair on this one, though. Laura wasn't actually working on Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was
somebody
Rachel.
Else. Okay. But
well, I did ask for time to go to a Good Friday service.
Okay. Well, fair enough. But, yeah, we were told that you were not available, that you were gone all day, not available to us, that in no way could we have you on the show Friday.
I think they were just being nice to me.
All right.
I would have.
That's okay. It's just unfortunate that niceness to Jim Roop often takes the form of cruelty to the Rick Emerson show and audience.
Which is a travesty.
All right. Well,
and a crime and a sin.
Well, and
so, go back to church.
So do they stop you at the gate? We figured you had just, that you had done this Playboy Mansion story, and then to atone, you were just going to have to spend the next day, the rest of the day in confession or whatever.
No.
All right.
I didn't actually get in. I got up to that magic rock. You've been there, right?
No, I never have.
Well, out front, they have cameras everywhere, so they saw me coming. And, you know, you push the intercom, and it's on this rock.
Right.
This intercom disguised as a rock, and this magic talking rock starts to talk with you. And, you know, I mean, all the guy knew I was there for some reason, but the question really kind of stunned him, and so I got some pretty good stuff out of it.
All right. Yeah, no, we played a little bit of it. He sounded very confused and funny, so.
Yeah, it was a good time.
All right. Well, next time we'll lean on the CNN people a little bit harder and longer about whether or not you truly are available.
I always have my BlackBerry and my cell phone, so it doesn't hurt to ask them to at least send an email to me. To see if I'm available.
All right. Well,
even if I'm scheduled to be off, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, I'll try not to be bitter about it.
That's great. That's very big of you.
That's what I do. All right, my friend.
You're a giver, man.
It's in a Rick Emerson give.
It's Easter all year for you.
Yes. I would like to leave you with this thought, Jim Roop, before we... There you go. Happy belated Easter, Jim Roop.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent in Los Angeles. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. All right, let's see. What have we got here? Email us. Apparently, Sid Rosenberg is back on the Ima Show. This has been clarified. Let's see.
How would anybody notice, really?
I'll give you one guess. Guess who the email is from?
Bruce.
Yes. Rick, Sid Rosenberg is back on IMUS. If you listen closely to the tape of last week's offending program, you will hear Sid, of course, chiming in along with IMUS and Bernie. Because racism is funny. Sid is the one who says of the Rutgers women, quote, they look like the Toronto Raptors, end quote. I don't really know what that means. Rick, that picture of Cheney in the background during Bush's speech was from a Conan O'Brien skit. It's not real. That's not true. I've seen the video clip. I've seen the video clip that it's from. People have sent me the video clip. So, unless, like, MSNBC was in on the gag somehow. Let's see. Rick, I have... Oh, this is about Grindhouse. I just learned from a friend of a friend in L.A. that Harvey Weinstein of Weinstein Films is seriously considering a pull of Grindhouse as it currently stands. That of a 3.5-hour double feature. Only pulling 12 million Friday through Sunday has Weinstein reeling, and he is thinking about breaking the movies up, telling Tarantino and Rodriguez to both shoot the missing reel scenes and then resubmit them as separate films. Well, that would suck. That totally sucks. All right, well, I totally have to go see it before that happens then. Rick, this email says, I'm confused about the Easter money that your in-laws sent you. Were they being wacky? I cannot for the life of me believe that anybody who's ever been around you for more than 5 minutes would think you would like a wrapping Easter bunny, sans irony. No, they don't. No, because they're... I mean, look, they're old. They're old, and they're Mormons, and they live in Provo. You know, what are you going to do? They have no way of... they have no way of knowing, sir. This is about Honey, We're Killing the Kids. Rick, that show, Honey, We're Killing the Kids, is awful. One episode I saw featured a dad who had his deep fryer that he cooked stuff in every day. As part of the show, they buried the deep fryer in the backyard as a section of their new diet and fitness regimen. Later, the fat kid tried to dig the deep fryer up. Oh, that's fantastic. See, that almost makes me want to watch it right there. When they show what the kid is going to look like in the future, all they do is take a picture of the kid now, Photoshop his Spider-Man t-shirt away and put him in a sweater, thin his hair and give him a 5 o'clock shadow. Then they squish the aspect ratio wider so the kid looks really fat. It's totally retarded and hilarious. You have to check it out. See you next Thursday. All right, there you go. Speaking of see you next Thursday. Well, do we have time? What is it? 1:20? All right.
Yep.
We should probably break. We'll break, we'll come back, we'll hit the bottom of the hour news with Tim Riley, then we'll talk about some of the stuff that I brought in for Listener Party 10. So we'll get to that later on. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. You stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up here in just a skosh, as our Asian friends say, we'll talk to you with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Scotty J will join us in a while. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, who will sigh in a truculent and pretentious fashion and then talk about Entourage and The Sopranos with us. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru, Susan Reynolds. Why, hello there.
Hello.
Hey, didn't you have to go? What was the show you had to take your kid to see this weekend?
Oh, well,
at the Hawthorne Theater?
Yeah, you know, we ended up not going. There was a little bit of a...
There's some unpleasantness?
Oh, there was.
Oh, no. Did you take the door off the hinges again?
Almost.
Was this the... This is the daughter who caused us some trouble?
Not the spelling champ, no.
No, of course not. No, Lucy caused us no trouble at all. Not yet.
Although she found Jesus over the weekend. Uh-huh, I know. Everything... All kids were running amok.
All right, let's all stop.
Sorry.
You look like you... Now, please don't take this the wrong way. You look like you've had a bit of a weekend.
I have had a bit of... I had sort of a weekend and a half all crammed into one glorious couple
of... I don't understand. Your daughter Lucy found Jesus?
Yeah, she went to, you know, Easter service with a friend, which I thought, okay, that's fine. You know, they'll have a little Easter egg hunt. They'll, you know, eat some chocolate. She'll be home in time for dinner. No big deal.
I hide Jesus in those Easter eggs sometimes.
Yeah,
the
well...
The extra ingredient is Jesus. They spring the Jesus on you. I was to understand that you were a Jewish family.
Yes, well, we're sort of a half and half family.
Okay.
So, you know, it's funny. She's got this little friend at school from Israel, and so she's way into the Jewish thing.
Yes.
And then she goes off to Easter service with... this other friend
came home with a crucifix.
She came home clutching... Wait a minute.
Oh,
was it one of the chocolate ones?
Oh, it's fantastic.
No, she came home clutching a Bible.
Oh.
A. B. She had a little sheet of paper with a nail stuck through it that was supposedly one of the nails that, you know... So there was that. And then she was singing these little songs and saying how they've invited her to come to church every Sunday.
Well, that was nice of them.
So I just... And then after what had gone on with the other daughter, I was just kind of like, oh, whatever. I was sort of throwing my hands up in the air at that point. It was really, really a weekend.
I don't mean to laugh. No, it's just surreal.
It was.
Really, when you came in and sat down... And you just sort of had that look like it had been sort of a tiring couple of days. Really, if you had asked me to list all of the things that maybe had transpired over the weekend...
You never would have been able to.
I would not have guessed.
No.
And then your daughter found Jesus over the weekend.
Yeah, I couldn't have ever imagined that either. So I just don't want her to tell, you know, the half of grandparents that are Jewish, because I think that would really sort of lay them out. That would be it.
Man, oh man.
Well, we got complicated goings on.
No, but here's the thing, and here's why you have to just keep her locked up in some sort of... You have to keep her locked up in a fruit cellar. Because, and you probably know this, the people who've just found Jesus, they're the ones who can't shut up about it. That's the thing. If you found Jesus like 10 years ago, you may have mellowed out about it a bit. People who've just discovered Jesus, they're the ones who are just running like the River Ganges at the mouth about it. So you got to watch her around. You got around that half of the family.
They're like people who just quit smoking.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Right.
Or my wife who just became vegan.
Okay.
Like about 4 months ago, man. And it's like every... Hi, honey. How was your day? My day was fantastic because I am a vegan. Unlike you, you godless carnivore. And then she looks at me smugly and goes off to boil a block of tofu somewhere.
Yeah.
So I would be doing my best to keep Lucy away from that half of your family.
Yeah.
Where are you?
So she's got that going on. And the other, you know, so... But I was supposed to take my older daughter to see this group called Hit the Lights at the Hawthorne Theater. Yes. I'm waiting for a reaction. No one in this room.
Sarah, Hit the Lights?
Mm-mm. No.
No, I got it.
I don't drive that far on the east side.
Well,
I drove
this
by...
doesn't frequent our neighborhood.
I drove by the Hawthorne. It was either Friday or Saturday, though, and I saw it on the marquee, and I was like, Susan Reynolds is in there somewhere right now.
Man, there's some really good shows there.
Yeah. Didn't happen. Actually, I was kind of glad I was off the hook, but there was a grounding and there was a
groundhouse.
A TPing incident and a lying incident.
TPing. Oh, come on. Now, you have to tell us if you don't mind.
I don't mind, because...
A TPing incident. Wait, let me guess.
All right.
Okay, so you... So
is your daughter a bully?
Well, I didn't think so.
Oh.
That's terrible.
Well, here's the thing. Do you want to guess, or should I just...
I can guess.
You know, if she had Jesus in her life, Susan, I don't believe this would be
a
problem.
I bet it was a slumber party, and there's one girl that one of the particular girls doesn't quite like so much, so they all snuck out.
She's a fat girl.
No, she's probably not a fat girl. She's probably a little under the radar, but one of the girls has a crush on either this girl's boyfriend, or she's a threat of some kind.
Wait, hold on. So let me understand this. So your theory is, and before then we'll reveal the truth here. So your theory, Sarah, is that Susan's daughter was at a slumber party wherein they all decided, pecking party style, they all singled out some other girl that none of them like, and they went and TP'd the house. That's your guess.
That's what I'm thinking. What's your
guess? My guess is probably not the girl. My guess is they probably TP'd the house of a boy. That's my guess.
Okay.
It's too cliche to say teacher. That's probably not the case.
Right. Well, okay. She spent the night at a friend's house.
Of course.
So that part of it was right. Apparently at some point between around 10:45 p.m., which she's 12, so she's not allowed to be running the streets, which I...
Is there a curfew?
Well, there is with me.
All right. Okay.
So she should not have been, you know, running around. And she and the friend and a couple of boys who snuck out of their house ran down the street with 24 rolls. And I'm assuming they were the giant rolls because when I saw the aftermath and ran four houses down from our house and TP'd what are very good friends of mine and a daughter you know, they may or may not still be friends.
There's some drama.
Yeah, there's some drama. Well, of course, then...
Yeah, I told you, Rick, I know girls.
I know, it's true.
Okay, so this is Friday night. Saturday morning, I wake up. I know nothing of this because she has spent the night at a friend.
Sure.
And, of course, it has rained. It has poured overnight. Now, you know what happens to toilet paper when it gets wet and it's hanging from trees and has been thrown on a roof and gets into gutters and things of that nature. So, there was a big old mess down the street, four houses, and... I was out walking the dog, and the neighbors motioned me in. Okay, we need to show you something. I said, "Well, I already see what happened." And I went back home, and I called Taylor, and I said, "What do you know about this?"
Now, why did you assume that she would know? Because she's friends with the girl,
or did you
have a gut feeling that she might have been involved?
And when she was saying, "I need you to come in and see something," I thought, "Uh-oh." I asked, "What do you know about this?" And she said, "Oh, nothing. Well, we did see some boys running with some toilet paper."
She neglected to say that she was right next to the boys.
Exactly. So I went down the street into the neighbor's home, and they showed me a MySpace page with the pictures.
Oh, you are kidding me.
Damn.
She's that girl.
That's awful.
We have those stories every day on the show about, and then they decided to post the photos of the vandalism on MySpace.
So that was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And she was busted full on. So I went back home and told her that as soon as she was done with her guitar lesson, which was coming up in mere minutes, that she would be down that street, not only apologizing, but cleaning up every last drop of soggy, sticky, icky toilet paper.
Now, Dad, did she turn in the other people involved?
I knew. I mean, I knew whose house she was at the night before, so I said, and you're going to call that friend and bring her with you.
Right.
So then they fessed up that there were also a couple of boys involved. And
but that made you happy.
Oh, the whole thing was just... And you know what? If I would have said to her, "What do you know about this?" And she said, "All right, we did it." I would have said, "Okay, well, let's go down and clean it
lie.
Up. But the lying...
Now, please tell me that it was her own MySpace page on which these photos were posted.
No.
Okay.
But it was a MySpace page that was apparently created between the two
like
of them together because it was like a combination of the two of their names, you know, together. So
like a Taylor and Missy or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And Quinn Martin.
Yeah, Quinn Taylor and Missy Productions.
So I think they realized, oops, the MySpace thing maybe was not such a good idea.
Yeah.
And the whole thing really wasn't such a good idea. So we had kind of a really...
it was the best weekend ever for you.
It was just a long Saturday. The one thing I was happy about was I didn't have to drag down to the Hawthorne Theater.
I would suggest this. Here's what you really ought to do. You really then ought to, on a MySpace page, you ought to then put up the photos of her cleaning up the house. That really ought to be the next... Yeah. A public shaming of some kind.
You know, and the problem was, these friends of ours were having a big Easter celebration at their house with a bunch of company coming over, and they'd been hit a bunch of times because they've got a high schooler, so there's been some friendly TPing back and forth, but they were like, at the point when they saw this, they were like, "Oh, we are so done."
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Really, please, I don't want you to take offense when I say this. I don't mean this in a bad way.
Yeah.
But really, this segment is probably auditory birth control for so many people in the audience because they hear this and just like, "That's screw it. I'm wearing a condom." You know what I mean? Just to make sure because it's just, I mean, I can't even imagine. I would just have gone, I would already be in jail if I was a parent because the first time my kid did something like this, I would just beat them senseless.
We had a couple of close calls over the weekend. Not beating, of course. Obviously, I've never hit my kids. But boy, I wanted to.
I hear that from people so often, like, "I've never struck my child, but boy, have I longed to do
so." Yeah, I had to do a couple laps around the house just to, you know, calm myself down. And because she, you know, was trying to sweet-talk me into still taking her to the concert.
Right, of course.
She had deluded herself to thinking that this was still somehow going to happen.
Now, do you know the boys that she was with?
they happened to roll past on their bikes while the girls were cleaning, and they go, wow, who did this? You know, and it was such over-the-top acting that all of us parents standing around were like, oh, come on.
Right.
You know, and the girls did say, hey, you did it too, so help us.
Are you ever tempted just to send them off to boarding school right now?
You know,
just to preemptively just get them locked up in somewhere?
I was thinking, where is the, you know, not even where's the closest boarding school?
Because she's not even a teenager.
But she's, well, she's close.
I mean,
summer.
But I guess I'm saying, like, you, I mean, nothing you don't already know, but I mean, you got, like, years of this still to go.
And I asked my younger daughter if she was paying attention to all this and you know, for things that she should not be doing.
She's too busy practicing her first communion.
Exactly.
She's too busy taking catechism.
So I just felt like, you know, all the children were running amok. And I had no control over anything. And I like to control things.
Yes. All right. Well, was it one of those Mondays where it was a relief to get into work?
Sort of.
I can't wait to get to the office.
Yeah.
The finely tuned machine that is CBS Radio.
Well, really, you know.
Well, okay then. Well, sorry about that.
But we're looking forward to the listener party.
I ran out of Vicodin this weekend.
Good segue.
That's all I had to report. The entirety of my weekend was just that I used my last Vicodin and I got the hip-hopping Easter Bunny from my in-laws. That's
and
it.
You starved yourself.
And I didn't eat.
You dropped a couple pounds, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Well, the Vicodin helps.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's. So we got to be very careful that we don't over-review here. But as we brought it to so we have locked in place, secured, finalized the logistics for bringing in the mystery guest for Listener Party 10.
That is correct.
All right, so locked, loaded, ready to go.
Absolutely, and we are excited.
We've spoken to the mystery guest. The mystery guest is on board. They're excited to be here.
They are. They've agreed to come. They have not haggled over travel arrangements. We are all good to go.
Fantastic. All right, so we've already gotten a lot of speculation about who it is, but we will not reveal. We will not tip our hat. We will not explicate in any way.
In the hallways, I've had a lot of people saying to me, hey, who's the, you know, and yeah. I'm keeping it very close to the vest.
All right, so that is going to be 10 days from today. I saw Bridget today working on the posters for this, putting together the logo, adding all the incidental text to it. It's going to be fantastic. I have here a large Rubbermaid tub full of embarrassing crap and photos from my radio career.
Yeah, I thought we were going to look at the photos.
Yeah, we'll do that here in a while. Well, we got to do something.
Is that full?
It's not full, but I mean, that's just a tentative pass of stuff. I mean, just all okay, here's the thing. I'm not going to show it to Sarah quite yet. I will show it to you, Susan, and we'll get your reaction. Hold on. I know this is gripping. And then we'll go to the news with Tim.
Well, while you're digging that out, let me just say that, you know, last year, the listener party, we just worked together like, what, maybe a month?
Mm-hmm.
Not even. And so I didn't really know you guys the way I know you now. And so, although I was quite amazed at that party and how much fun it was and how great the listeners were, but now that I know you the way I do,
yes.
Well, this is going to be so much more special.
All right, here's the thing. I'm now going to show Sarah, and I will not, I will now show Susan. Nobody else is allowed to see this yet. I'm going to show you one of the worst publicity photos ever taken of anybody ever. This will be among the things on display at Listener Party 10. Now, keep in mind, this is not when I was like 15. This is relatively recently. one of the worst.
What year was this?
This would have been 2000, maybe.
I met you in 2002.
Yes, I mean 7 years ago. That wasn't like yesterday, but it wasn't like 20 years ago either. There's no it wasn't long enough ago that I should have been allowed to wear this or look like this. This will be among the items on display at Listener Party 10. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show now Susan Reynolds one of the worst publicity photos of anybody ever taken.
Oh, my God. Okay. I must say.
It's Mitchell Bickford.
Badass.
Oh.
This isn't even the worst. You have no idea. I've got ones that are so much worse than
that.
That's
not when the worst? When do I get to see it?
No, you get to see it later after the news.
Okay, well, I will say this, Rick Emerson listeners.
Fantastic.
You must attend this party to see, if nothing else, to see this photo.
So, Susan, can we take these photos and blow them, like, poster size?
If we can make it as big as the one that's already in your office.
God, maybe I'll just come in this outfit. I'll just wear this. Just come as myself circa 2000.
Please tell me you're wearing your purple silk shirt and it's blowing in the wind.
Well,
there was wind.
There's some blowing.
There's wind and blowing.
That whole show is nothing but blowing, let me tell you. All right.
Well, that is something to look forward to. And that, you know, Dave Zinn, our beloved receptionist upstairs, has been named the curator.
He has been combing through submissions every day. So
we've got a lot to look forward to.
All right. Susan Reynolds, CBS Radio Portland marketing guru. Good luck with the whole kid thing.
Yeah, and absolute A number one parent.
Yes, it's true. tell Lucy if she has any questions about the apostles or the Beatitudes or perhaps any of the Catholic holy days, she can come ask me.
Well, she can't ask me.
Give her all the information she needs.
Okay,
thanks, guys.
Thank
you. Susan Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Governor Kuligowski and his wife are planning to spend a week living on food stamps. Of course, they can afford better, but they want to draw attention to Oregon's hunger problem and the number of families who are not sure how they'll get their next meal. For several years, Oregon led the nation in hunger problems. You wouldn't know if I look at a lot of people, would you? Seriously.
I'm sorry. Really?
Yeah.
That's a lie.
That's
I don't believe you.
Leads the nation in hunger problems.
Uh-huh.
I guess because they just can't get enough. Well, it now leads the nation in food stamp use, so we're getting a little bit better. The governor and his wife will live off the average food stamp budget of $21 a person, or an average of $3 a day per person, during the week by April 23rd through the 29th.
Now, I'm unclear about food stamps. Now, we lead the nation in food stamps, but that doesn't mean we lead the nation in people who are hungry.
Right. Apparently, we did it one time. We led the nation in hunger problems. What that means is people can't get enough, or they're not eating enough.
Every time I see somebody using food stamps, it's just some fat bastard.
Yeah.
What is the Oregon Trail card? What is that?
Oh, that's kind of like the state welfare card, I believe.
What is the difference between the Oregon Trail card and food stamps? Is it for the same thing? Is it just like, just some welfare guy?
It is a debit account for poorer people.
Really?
They can buy, big blocks of cheese and whatnot.
Okay.
Whatever poor people eat.
Well, here's the thing. I was just at the Plaid Pantry the other day, and here's what poor people apparently eat. The guy in front of me, he couldn't buy smokes with it, but he did buy, a fistful of Slim Jims. That was it. That's what he was using that Oregon Trail card for. So, all right.
So, the most people can receive under the food stamp program is $65 a week. That seems like I've lived on less.
Yeah.
Without food stamps. I guess you can buy milk, eggs, cheese, potatoes, ground beef, apples, fried chicken, peanut butter and jelly, carrots, or 70 cans of vegetables. But 65 a week, I could live on that. I don't see what the problem is. Anyway, people just don't know how to live on a budget, I guess. The kindness of strangers brought encouraging news to the family of a missing and deaf disabled man from Clark County. Koi Vu has been missing since Saturday, or possibly Sunday.
Who?
Koi Vu.
Who?
Koi Vu.
No, this isn't funny. I was hoping it'd be like a hoo-voo kind of a thing.
No. Apparently, an unidentified woman called 911 after seeing a story about him missing on television. They thought the tip was a hoax because the tales the woman shared about Vu and his love for basketball. This story doesn't make any sense. Some kid wrote this. The woman also said the man was very thirsty and drank a hot bottle of water. And apparently, she gave him some water. And then he ran away.
I don't understand anything about this story.
He's 25 years old. He has a mental capability of a 10-year-old. And communicates with sign language. So if you see Mr. Boo out there...
Who?
Boo.
See, it's not really funny. No, I tried. It's even the second time around...
I guess
around,
that's a little bit of deja vu.
That'll be if we have the story again tomorrow.
I'll save it for tomorrow.
All right.
Guess what? Apple has sold its 100 millionth iPod. The iPod is 6 years old. Well, almost. There have been 10 new models included, added features such as full-color screens, devices that can play video, or smaller, lighter models, including those with no screens at all.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. Can I have something with no screen so I can't figure out what I'm listening to?
That's one of those clip-on ones.
Yeah, but why would you... I don't understand. Never mind. I'm not going to pick more fights about iPod. Because I right here.
I agree with that one. I would never buy that.
Long-ass screed about why I need to get an iPod.
All right. So anyway, buy an iPod soon. I'll be left out of everything. Meanwhile, a man in Orange County, Florida, who was shot and injured by his 4-year-old son after the boy found a loaded gun and shot his dad, could face charges. The boy found a semi-automatic Glock 45 inside the family's home in Okeepikeepi and shot his father, Bruce Tanner. Tanner reached to take the gun away from the boy and it fired, shattering his bones and breaking his arm.
Oh, Jesus. Tanner?
I barely knew her.
This is why gun safety is a good thing, said the police. The weapon should have had some type of secure device on it. The law does not require a gun and bullets to be sold separately.
Scotty was noting, by the way, about the $65 a week. Scotty says, that's $260 a month per person for food, more than most of us have, by the way.
That is correct.
It really is
true. I don't see why people can't live on that. What's the problem?
I mean, so this $65, and I mean to ignore it earlier, you're busy sorting through all the email about it. So $65 a week, that's... Is that what the state allotment for food stamps is?
Mm-hmm. That's less than $10 a
day. Is that a person?
For two people.
So two people, so $65, that's $35 a week for two people.
So what's the problem?
That's like, yeah, it's $4.50 a day, basically.
Well, so it's, let's see, so if we round, so it's $35, so divided by seven, so that's like $5 a day.
You can do that.
I listen to Tim is the cold, hard voice of the landlord. You can make it work. Well, I mean, that's presuming, is it per person? Is it, that's not $65.
$65 for two people.
Well, see,
that's
does.
Just ridiculous.
That does seem a little low. I mean, one,
a little smart,
so you get a box,
goes a long way.
Could get a box of mac and cheese for 75 cents.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I don't know if you can do it for 35.
No, if you're poor, don't expect to eat healthily.
I mean, I guess if you have no other income of any kind, mm-hmm. that's low. But I don't necessarily buy the conventional wisdom. This is a thing that people say so often in this country.
If you buy the Western Family brands,
people
with that list of 500 chemicals in the macaroni. You can do it that way.
I think if you're poor, you need chemicals. You need somebody to preserve your body. That's one of those things that people say in this country, though, that they repeat over and over again. And they repeat it so often that they expect it just to sort of be true. When people say that it's really, that it's... that you can't eat, that, you know, that it's expensive to eat well, that you can't eat healthily, you know, if you're poor, which is like a complete load. I mean, I suppose that's just if you, I mean, the thing about not being able to buy healthy food for very little money is only true if you really want a variety. The thing is, you can eat healthily for not very much money. You're just not going to have a lot of variety to it.
I think I made that word up.
What?
Healthily.
Healthily?
No, that's and you adapted it. You used it twice. I'm not even sure if it's a word.
It's a word.
It's like truthiness. I remember being really broke, though, and, you know, my thing was, like, I went and got, the big bottle of multivitamins, and then I remember going for, like, weeks, not to be all about the story of my hard life, but I remember going, like, for going many weeks where my diet consisted basically of, like, apples and tuna fish or something. But, I mean... You know, it's just that going to McDonald's, whether you're poor or wealthy, is just easier for most people. Like, if you're a fat-ass American, it's just easier to go through a drive-thru than to go to the store and actually find something that you have to prepare. That's the problem for most Americans.
I have to take the money out of my pocket and roll down the car window? That's enough for me.
I'm not going to have it. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do one more and we'll take a break.
Well, all right. The captured sailor Faye Turney and her fellow hostages were were accused of behaving like reality TV stars after given permission to cash in on their ordeal. The 15 sailors and Marines have been told they can sell their stories to the media by the Ministry of Defense, which bracketed the exceptional circumstances surrounding their 13-day ordeal. The most senior members of the Royal Navy, including Lieutenant Felix Carman, defended the right of comrades to sell their stories, but admitted he found the subject of being paid a bit unsavory, but says he will hand over all the money he makes to charity. So that's a good thing.
Aw, all right.
Anyway, that lady that they put the babushka on and handed a cigarette, they said they were measuring her, and she could hear people cutting wood and putting nails and things like they were going to make her a coffin.
What?
You didn't listen to that?
No.
One more time. When this woman was captured, this Faye Turney woman,
yes.
Remember they put her in the babushka and gave her a cigarette?
No.
Well, you're not watching the news. Take my word for it, they did.
They put her in a babushka. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or whatever they call that in Iran. Anyway, well, they had her incarcerated. She said they were measuring her, and then she heard somebody cutting wood and putting nails in the wood trying to build her a coffin.
I see. It's a little whatever. It's a little psychological whatever.
Right. It's like the CIA was doing it.
All right. Apparently, the Oregon Trail Card is the new food stamps. Paper stamps are not issued anymore.
Right. It's like Lewis and Clark would use. That's the Lewis and Clark card.
Apparently, people sell the Oregon Trail Cards to get money for booze and cigarettes. Hey, that really
could be more American.
Well, that is capitalistic right there. Mm-hmm. It's true.
You still have freedom of choice. So who says it's socialist or communist? You still have freedom of choice.
You have your choice of Saint. You have your choice of Saint Ives or King Cobra when you go to buy malt liquor with that Oregon Trail card. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So a pack of Marlboros and a box of Little Debbie cupcakes, and you're still under your daily rate.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, we should take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley again at the top of the hour. Peter Carlin. We'll go through a little bit of this crap that I brought in here to have on display at Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, including the worst press photo ever taken of me, which I will show Sarah Dillon when we return. You stay there to the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.